excited about this service. It's a little bit different, and we'll kind of explain. I'll explain as we go through. But we're going to talk about testimony this morning. And the word testimony actually means do it again, Lord, do it again. And Psalm 34 is a testimony psalm, and we're going to hear a testimony. And one of the things I feel like the Lord wants to do is he wants to build faith in the room of healing. And there's a level of healing emotionally, physically, that the Lord wants to do. And I really believe that today. So as we just go through the service and you hear the scriptures, we sing the songs, just let faith arise in your heart, because I think he wants to do something today, and I'm excited about it. Father, we thank you that you're the resurrection and the life, that you are the living God, and you are not dead. And Lord, I thank you that you raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that if we believe in you, we have the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead living inside us. And so Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come, that your spirit would breathe on your word as it is read, as it is sung, as it is declared. We welcome you here to this service. And Lord, I pray the gift of faith would arise in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's prepare our hearts to worship with the prelude. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Let's stand for our call to worship. It's taken from the first three verses of Psalm 34.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears.
Amen. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all of my fears. Let's sing "To God Be the Glory."
Thank you.
seated. Great things, Lord, you have done. We praise you, Jesus, that you are with us, that you walked out of that tomb alive, Lord, that you ascended amidst shouts of joy, and you are coming back in great glory. Psalm 2 says that you sit in heaven and you laugh because you know it is to come. The kings of the earth take their stand against the rulers, and yet, Lord, they take their stand against you, and yet you know what is to come. You're the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end and the first and the last. You hold all things in your hand. Lord, you are faithful and you are true. And we thank you, Jesus, that you are Emmanuel, that you are God with us, that your eye is on the righteous, that your ears are attentive to their cry. Lord, you're good and you are faithful. We thank you for the testimony of Rocky Burke, that he is out of the in the NICU, he's out of the tiny little babies, and he's moved up a weight class in the NICU. And Lord, we just thank you for that. And we pray his lungs would continue to grow strong, that there would be no neurological issues, no eye issues, no lung issues for being born as early as he has. And Lord, we just thank you for your hand of mercy every step of the way. And Lord, we just thank you. We pray for Linnea. We pray for Tony. Lord, your grace on them. This is a marathon for them. And Lord, just bless them. Pray for Linnea that her blood pressure would just stabilize in Jesus' name. And we just thank you, God, for your testimony there and your faithfulness there in Jesus' name. We pray, Father, for Betty Seifert, heart issues. God, we pray healing on Betty. We pray peace on her family in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for David Serby. God, we pray healing on David. Strength on him and just bless him. Lord, we bless the Serbies in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for Sally Miller. God, we pray encouragement on Sally. We pray grace upon her, upon Abby, upon that whole family. And Lord, we pray for a smooth transition for her in the move. And God, we just ask mercy on Sally, peace to be upon her. And Lord, your will be done. We just pray peace on Sally in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for Marla McNulty's son, Jason. He's on life support now and just multiple heart attacks. And God, we pray healing on Jason in the name of Jesus. Grace, peace, strength on him. We pray for Kurt Krug. Not a good report. Lord, we thank you. Your word says you forgive all of our sins, that you heal all of our diseases, that you redeem our life from the pit, and you crown us with love and compassion. And Lord, we pray for Kurt, that even though he's gotten a bad report, Lord, you're bigger than that. And we pray healing and mercy on Kurt in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for the Tom Helmer family, the Don Barrett family. Lord, comfort for them in the name of Jesus Christ. Your word says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. We thank you, Lord, for a good trip for Lindell, away with his older sisters and visit family. And Lord, we just bless Lindell and pray that it would, the encouragement that he received from just being around, Lord, just family, that would go deep in his heart, and that you'd just bless him and buoy him up, Lord, in the faith, and just encourage Lindell in Jesus' name. We pray for Nolan, Gordy's son. And Lord, your word says that you break the bars of iron. And in depression, in emotional issues, in addiction, Lord, you break those things. And we pray the addiction and the depression and the oppression over Nolan would be broken in the name of Jesus. You did not give us a spirit of fear and intimidation, but of power and love and sound mind. We pray a sound mind over Nolan. I pray that you would give Gordy wisdom as he cares for his son and tries to encourage him and help him, that the anointing of God would be on Gordy, that your peace would be upon him, and we pray healing on Nolan. And Lord, there are a lot in our congregation, in family and friends that we know that suffer from addiction and mental health issues. And Lord, we pray healing of minds in the name of Jesus, that addictions would be broken in Jesus' name, that sound mind would come forth out of confusion, out of darkness. The prodigal son, it says he came to his senses. He realized he was in the pig pen, but he came to his senses and said, I'm going to return to my Father. And Lord, I pray that those that are suffering, that they would come to their senses, that they would realize the situation that they are in, and that the light of your light would come, your love would shine on them. They would come to their senses and they would return to you. Father, bless. We pray the gift of repentance on these loved ones. Lord, bless them, heal them, restore them in Jesus' name. Pray mercy, God, in Maui and what's going on there. God, help. We thank you that you're a healer. Jesus, it said, and it says in your word that several times that you healed everyone that came, everyone that was there in that place that you came that day. You healed them all. And Lord, we thank you that that's who you are. And we need you, and you know that. And we humble ourselves, Lord, and we invite you in. Give us wisdom in this hour. Give us discernment in this hour. Lord, as we're making very important decisions for the life of this church, I pray, God, that we would hear your voice, that we would hear you. Lord, your will be done. We pray your kingdom come here. Your will be done. Lord, lead us, guide us, give us wisdom. We pray peace over the meeting on Wednesday, Lord, and that there would just be truth. And we would see truth, and Holy Spirit, you would come and you'd speak to us. We invite you, Spirit of God, into that meeting. We invite you to come. Jesus, we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Father, we pray you'd bless these tithes, these gifts, and these offerings. We offer it up to you as worship. We pray you'd bless the giver and bless the offering for the furtherance of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing the Gloria Patri. We're going to continue in Psalm 34, verses 5 and 6.
Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. The poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles.
Amen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Psalm 34 is a testimony psalm, and it's a psalm that David wrote as a praise of what God had done in deliverance. And this is one of my favorite psalms. It's one of my very favorite ones. If there is, you probably heard me pray it more than one time, and there's a repetition in this psalm, and this is one that I would just encourage you to get your journal out and write down some promises, because it's just so beautiful. And I'm going to read it, and then after I read it, John Burke had something happen to him on Easter Sunday this year, and it's a beautiful testimony. And in David, in this psalm, his purpose in doing this is he said, I want you all to glorify the Lord with me. And he's saying it in a group. And his purpose is to elicit worship in those who hear. And that's what a testimony is supposed to do. When we hear a testimony of somebody, it makes us, it's like, Lord, like Rocky, going from the littlest category to now he's going up. That's a testimony. And look at what God has done. And what does that do? It makes us happy. And it's like, God, you answered that prayer. And John's going to share what he shares, but I'm going to read this psalm. I want you to take note of what David, of what God had done in David's life. And as John comes after I read it, let's rejoice with John and what God has taught him and what God has done. And we have a lot to be thankful for and what God has done. And what God has done for one, you all, he doesn't have favorites. God does not have favorites. And if he did it for one, he'll do it for you too. So let's let faith arise as we hear the word. Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all of my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears. Some of you need to hear that today. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all of his bones. Not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked. Those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Father, this is your word. This is your word. And we thank you for the promises there. And Lord, we pray an anointing on your word. We pray an anointing on John. God, that you would bless him as he shares his testimony. And Lord, I pray that we would have eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to respond what your Spirit is saying to the church. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on up, John. John's going to share, and I'm going to sit up here with him, and I might ask him questions, or I might not, but we're going to sit up here, and he's going to stand as long as he can, but we've got chairs so he can sit, but I'm really excited because, John, you have a story to tell.
One of the things that, you probably all know, I had a wreck and broke my leg, and it was on Easter Sunday. And, you know, one of the things I want to talk about first is I was more so than all of my whole life, I was anticipating Easter Sunday. I talked to Jeannie about it. It was about a month before she's got it. If I read it, we'd be here until May. But it's a lot. It's a lot. But it was good to go back and read that. But one of the things I want to say, since I was talking about things previous to that day, is the day before that, Jeannie had went up to Sally's in Addyville, and I got home, and I was stuck doing a job, and I couldn't get away that day. And my intent was to ride that motorcycle up to her house and just not do it the next day. Just do it that day previous to that, which would have been Saturday. And so I got done with the job and everything, and I told Jeannie, I said, hey, I said, I'm gonna come up there. I called her on the cell phone. I said, I'm going to come up there, and I'll be up there in about 30 minutes. And she said, no. She said, John, we actually been up here quite a while. I'm ready to come home. And I don't want you to come up. I really got mad. I hate to say it, but I was really mad about that. I had totally forgotten this. And I said, Jeannie, I want to come up. Because I could just hear the wind whistling in my ears and the bike. You know, I was just going to go out and just have a free day because I had intended on doing it earlier that day. But the job that I had taken all afternoon, and I wasn't going to be able to do it. So she said, don't come up. I'm coming home. And I almost got on the bike and rode off anyway. Now, who knows what would have happened if I had done that? It would have been really bad. So we talked about that. And it would have been a disaster, probably. But I'd been by myself. That would have been the bad part. So anyway, on one of the other things I want to talk about before we get into all the things that happened that day is that during the time when I was off, I thought about Jesus a lot and what he had done for us. And I thought about the scripture that says, I get emotional about this, but he said, you're no longer servants, but now you're a friend. I mean, what's it mean to be friends with Jesus? I mean, really, I mean, think about the friends that you have. I mean, my whole life I've been connected myself with people. And I told the kids when they were growing up, going to college, going through high school, I said, make friends. Don't step on anybody. Make friends. That's what the rest of your life is going to entail, is those friends helping you in different ways. And so I really drove that home with the kids, and they've done that. You know? And I've done that myself. Life is all about connections, about connections. One of the connections that we may have failed to make is a connection with Jesus. I'm really a friend of him. And so while I was off, even though it was hard, it gave me a time to think about. Because some nights I didn't sleep an hour at a time. I may have been able to get sleep for half an hour at a time because of the pain and different things. You got this cast on your leg. You're trying to sleep with it. And your foot's going to sleep. There's all kinds of nice little amenities I can tell you about, not worry with. It was like really bad sometimes, you know. And I'm probably not the only person that's had a cast. It was a full leg cast. It was tough. And I wasn't the type of guy I could be down time at all, and I had to be down. So, but I think that's important today as a takeaway from my experience is it was a blessing that I didn't go that day. But the day that it happened, I got on a bike, and Jeannie made a list of all the stuff. John was wearing a helmet, face shield, leather gloves, padded. I put on everything that day. Everything I had that was armored, I put it on. I remember putting the gloves on, and I thought, you know, it's hot. I should wear these. I had those big, long cuff gloves up almost to my elbow. I put those things on. I have this armored jacket on. Had I not been wearing that, I would have had broken ribs instead of bruised ribs. So I had, you know, my left arm would have been broken. My hand would have been broken. There would have been a lot of things. But ended up, I guess, minimal injuries because of it. And Jeannie documented everything. She had all of that. But anyway, I'm riding behind her, and she's going with the car. And I follow her, and I think we turned right up here past the ice cream shop, went out this way toward the park, and on up Division Street. And Jeannie said she was leading, so she intentionally went that way so we wouldn't be on Hickory Street where all the potholes are. Everybody knows about the potholes on Hickory Street. It's bad. So anyway, had we been on that, it would have been a different outcome possibly because I would have met somebody. Because when I had the wreck, I didn't meet anybody, which was good. It was just me. So anyway, the last memory I have, we're going up Division Street. I noticed that the bike loaded up a little bit, and it was acting like a caged animal a couple times. And I thought, I should have just pulled over, but I didn't do it. I didn't know what it was. I thought the engine was just acting up. And I kept going. So I got up there, and the last thing I remember, I was just like riding. I've been riding since I was 8 years old, you know. And so I noticed that it looked like the fork went to the left a little bit. And I don't have any memory past that. I've had a lot of wrecks in my life on motorcycles, but I didn't have any recollection of this happening. So we found out later on that the front brake locked up, and which you don't ever want to do on a motorcycle. And it kind of threw me under the bike. And so it was 35 miles per hour, which was fast enough. And I guess the reason why I got injured, my leg got broken, is because I went under the bike, and the big, heavy, 1,000-pound bike fell on me. So, I'm laying on the road. I have no recollection of anything. I was laying looking up at the sky, and there was a state policeman there, and he was off duty. I recognized him, BJ, the guy here in town. And so anyway, he said, are you all right? I had no idea why I was on the road. Anyway, I had no idea why I was there. And he said, I said, why is my helmet face shield all scraped up? Because I was laying on my back. And he said, well, you were on your face when I found you, and the bike was on. So anyway, he had moved it, stood it up, got me up. And I guess during that procedure, I woke up. And so the next thing that happened was Jeannie had realized when she got up past Porter's and stopped at the railroad track that I wasn't behind her any longer. So she came back around the little loop and came back. This happened up by the Marshall Browning Division, even with Marshall Browning. So she got out of the car, and I was still laying on the road. The cop asked me if I could get up, and I couldn't. I knew something was wrong with my leg. It felt really bad. And so Jeannie walked up, and the first thing out of her mouth was, oh, John, if we'd have made it out to one more minute, I think it was what she said, one more minute, I don't know what would have happened. Since I would have got the hard road, I'd have been up to 65 or so following her, and it would have been a different outcome totally. May not have lived. But so it was a blessing in that regard that happened there. But anyway, the next thing that happened was really dynamic. And I was laying there, and there was a lady that walked up, and she had really long brown hair. And I'm laying on the road looking up, and it's I said, is she driving something? That's what I was starting to get out of shock then. And anyway, she said, yeah, she is driving something. So we know she was driving a car. And we've had other, I don't have time today, we've had other times where angels have been driving vehicles in our lives, and they vanished. So I think she probably vanished after that, because I don't think it was a woman. I thought that even if it was, it was a very conscientious person that stopped there and just like immediately, the ambulance, I could hear the ambulance in the distance, and she stopped and wanted to pray for me, which it makes it so much better that she did that. I wanted to, I don't know, I wish I could just keep telling you that story about her. It was so, like, I hate to say bizarre.
Can I share something, John?
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
I think, yeah, I think there's a psalm that says he's an ever-present help in time of trouble, and that we can entertain angels unaware, and yes, in Hebrews, and I think it's one of those times when you needed assurance, when Jeannie needed assurance, and, you know, some people kind of think, oh, that's crazy, but that's very real. It's very real, and I think that that's absolutely beautiful, that when you needed help and you needed that reassurance, that whether that was a literal angel or, you know, but the Lord, it was from him, and it was a gift from your heavenly Father, and that's absolutely beautiful.
Right out of Psalm 34, it says, pulled him up out of his troubles.
And the angel of the Lord,
yeah,
right,
camps
around those who fear him.
Right.
Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful.
That's why I wanted to bring up the friend of Jesus at first. I mean, you've got so many perks, let's say, by being Jesus' friend. I mean, how fast was that lady there, or the angel there, like immediately?
Yeah.
The ambulance didn't arrive.
Right, right.
And so we have her there, and it was just a normal situation. I mean, it was really just supernatural. I mean, that's the way it felt.
Yes.
And everybody in present, there's three of us, agree that was an angel.
Yes.
We've told that story to people. They were just really amazed about that.
I found that scripture. It's John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. Yeah.
So I remember.
Yeah.
But while I was off, and I didn't even look it up because I didn't know it was in John, but I knew that was an important thing. And so while I was off, and all the time that I was going through therapy and things, because I think about the 8th week I started in therapy. And so, you know, I'm at 17 weeks now. And there was a time, that was another thing I want to talk about, there was a time during the therapy, it was so naive, Jeannie and I, we thought as soon as I got that cast off, as soon as, you know, we were like making plans, I was talking about going back to Rand Lake and teaching and things. You know, it was like we were just going to go ahead and do on with our life. And we didn't even know that all this therapy and things and all this trying to get back to normal and my bone, you know, that was like not the big deal. It was all these tendons and everything else that you've got to get going again and learn how to walk. 3 days ago, I learned how to walk again. I was, had to focus on turning my toe inward. Otherwise, I'd hobble. Like, you know, when I walk, I was good. And now I can walk. I mean, if I walk all day, sure, I'll start doing it later when I get tired. But the therapy people at Marshall Browning, I endorse them because they really do a good job. But one of the things I want to talk about, too, and it was a really important thing, a friend of mine gave me a little book, and it's, I think the name of it's God's Promises. And so it goes into Scripture and different things. And I'll be frank about it. I read maybe a few things out of that book, you know. But while I was down, I talked to him about it. He said, go in and read chapter. reach down and pick people up that, I mean, they walked. They didn't have to go through therapy or anything, all the atrophy that would be of them not walking for decades. Yeah. So they, and we, and it's like really bizarre that he was able to fix everything in that person, or that crippled person could walk. So he just basically remade everything in. So he, Jesus was able to take the supernatural thing, the thing that we would like hope for, pray to Jesus and say, you know, I'd like to be over cancer. I'd like to be over my broken leg. I'd like to be able to walk again, or whatever it might be, from the simple things, simpler things, or to the most complicated things. Well, Jesus said, you can say to that mountain, move over there, and it moved. So what's the mountain? That's the cancer. That's the fact that you're not getting out of therapy like when you thought you should. I mean, there's a lot of things there. Become a mountain to you. So what I did was is I just captured that and just kept reading it over and over and just being an attitude of prayer and praying what I was reading. And I could just about mark it to the next week. I started making progress. I mean, I started making like progress in the therapy. They were going, wow, look, your leg even bends further now. And it was like supernatural things were happening. I don't know what would happen if I had got that whole book and started reading it, you know. So anybody at once, I took all that we had, other things that we had happen during that time. Is Rocky came very early, 27 weeks. And so we have a lot of other things going on. The little man to land hurricane knocked out the power here. Other people had to deal with that too. I had to go get generators and things, keep the ice cream from thawing out and ruining. You know, a lot of it did go. Lost it. But there was a lot of things that happened, Rocky being the utmost thing
our situations, because our circumstances, we might be hurting. Our skin is itching. Your skin, you know, it was miserable.
Oh,
you being in that cast. Yeah, and your foot would swell. It was horrible. It was horrible. But if we turn our eyes from that and we start speaking death, and just when I got diagnosed with lymphedema, I started owning that. And I would say, well, my lymphedema. And the Lord really, he said, April, don't own it. That's an issue you have right now, but you speak life over your body. You speak life over it. And it's not magic. It's not, but it's like if God inhabits the praises of his people, who do you think inhabits our complaining? Who do you think inhabits our, when we're just saying, you know, oh, this is horrible, and oh, this is going to happen, all this is, Satan loves that. The accuser loves that. And we need to speak life. And that is such a beautiful thing. And that it was horrible that happened to you on Easter. It was like you were so excited about Easter. And then the enemy's like, are you excited? All right, well, let's just make it horrible.
That's exactly what happened, I think.
You know? And yet, the Lord, the moment it happened, and I think it's really interesting that Jeannie told you the day before, don't come.
Right.
Don't come. And you were mad, because when we're told no, we're like, I want to do it anyway. You know, and yet that was God's mercy. It was his mercy. And then when it happened, that woman, angel, comes, encourages you, John, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And you needed it. And as you walked through all of it, all of the pain, all of the discouragement, the Lord's like, John, remember my promises. Remember my promises. Start declaring and standing on my promises. And then your family needed that. Tony needed that. And Rocky's benefiting from that. It's so beautiful. If you could sum up, if you don't have three, that's okay. But three things you want us to remember today. What are three things that you just, if you could just encourage us and like, y'all, congregation, don't forget this.
Well, the first thing I alluded to is being a friend of Jesus. That would be like the most important top of the list. The second thing would be your family. Take care of your family, because that's as well. They're your friends too. They're people that are around you, and that my mother always told me that Christians should always be ready to pray, because somebody has to be ready to pray, because things are going to happen. I see Abby shake her head, because my family was all about that, because they were, you know, they were like important in our church as far as somebody that was ready to pray. And then a lot of people's got that in their family too. It's like you might be the person that everybody says, okay, we're going to pray, and they'll call on to pray for the meal or whatever. Well, that person's ready to pray. So it's like, doesn't mean you're better. Doesn't mean anything like that. It just means that you are ready. And that my mother instilled that in me. And really, it almost shames you if you're not ready. It's like, you need to be ready. You need to be ready to pray, because you don't know what's getting ready to happen. Things could be getting ready to happen in your family, or somebody else may need. Maybe like that lady that passed us and said, can you imagine? She just decided to like pull over and pray, there's a wreck, you know. So and of course we're thinking that was an angel. But
that took guts.
Yeah, it was, yeah. And the third thing is, we don't want to ever forget that God will always come through for us.
Amen.
He will never, and 34 is talking about that. He will never leave us without the things he said he'll do for us. He's always going to be there for us.
to stand on the word. When our circumstances, when our brains are just going in overdrive, when we find ourselves kind of falling off a cliff in fear, we need, you know, that old hymn, standing on the promises of God. What does the word of God say? There's more than once, you know, over the last year when I'm like, Lord, I feel this way, but what is it that you say? What is it that you say? And then just listen. Sometimes he'll give you a song. Sometimes he'll give you a scripture, but we have to stand on the word. Hear these promises. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. If I could sum up what you're saying, it's like, God has been good to me. I want y'all to taste it. I want y'all to experience it. He's been good to me. He's come through for me. Taste it. Experience. See that he's good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears toward their cry. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Would you pray for us, John?
Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the good word that you brought to us today. Thank you for all the things that you brought me through. I don't want to dwell on the bad things, just on the good things, on the supernatural things that happened, and the things that changed in my life and in my spirit that'll never be the same. Thank you for taking me through these things and not leaving me there. Thank you for bringing us to a place to where we can all share in the good things that you have for all of us. It's not just for one, but you have enough for everyone. There's no limit to what you can do. We know that you always come through for us. In Christ Jesus' name.
Stand, and we're going to sing. I love to tell the story. It's verses 1, 3, and 4. We're going to sing this hymn. Let's sing it together. And I would just encourage you all, if you would need prayer for anything after the service, I've left John up here so that we can pray for you. We would love to pray for you because the Lord is a healer. Yes. Yes. Look at the mountaintops that he had. Because of the valley, wouldn't have experienced those highs had you not experienced the lows. We don't want to go through the lows, do we? But the Lord will meet us in those lows, and he'll bring us up. So good. So good. Yes. I love to tell the story, verses 1, 3, and 4.
I know.
Father, we thank you that we have a story and we have a testimony to tell. And Lord, we bless John in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for that angel that came that day. I thank you, Lord, for surrounding him with songs of deliverance. We thank you for Jeannie. Lord, we thank you for his whole family. We thank you, Lord, for the valley. We thank you, Jesus, that he was able to see you, that John had the gift of faith, and he held on to your word. And Lord, you used that to minister to his family, to Tony and baby Rocky. And Lord, we pray that what the enemy intended for evil, that you would use it for your glory. We pray for more in Jesus' name. And where John was so excited about Jesus and the resurrection and everything that that means, and the enemy wanted to kick John in the teeth, knock him out, Lord, I pray for more opportunities for John to share the story. And Lord, that I would just pray more revelation on the resurrection. And Lord, we just pray blessings on John, complete and total strength to return to his full body. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you. And Lord, I thank you that every single one of us has a story to tell. Lord, you have blessed, you have healed, you have helped. And Lord, I pray we would love to tell the story. We want to tell others about you, about your deliverance, about your love, about what you've done. Lord, give us opportunities this week to tell the story, to be your witnesses, God. And I pray for more. We pray for souls. And Lord, we just thank you, Jesus, that our story has the power to encourage others and to bring people in. Lord, you're the one who convicts, but Lord, I thank you that we're your messengers. And I pray we would be faithful in telling the story. In Jesus' name, amen. Go forth in peace.